And welcome back, folks. It's another Drunken Court with your buddy King. We got a special Halloween episode lined up for everyone today. So go ahead and get those magic potions out. Get the pumpkin juice rolling. The hot cider, the spiced wine, the Glühwein, as the Germans would say. It's time to kick back, relax with your buddies. Joining me on this very spoopy episode this week is my boy from Anime Plummet. It's my man, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Not much. Just got back from massage, and I'm all limber and loose and ready to get down.
Massages on Halloween, that's great. I love that. I'm always like, Halloween's like is a big holiday for our household, and I'm like, oh yeah, every single business in the country is like, no, it's not. It's totally a normal business day.
Yeah, no, my kid's 15 now, so it's like, you know, there's no panic in having to rush out to go. If they want to go trick-or-treating, they can go by themselves, right? So.
You're like, get out of the house. Dad's recording, okay? And drinking.
No, actually, I want them to man the front door, so no, don't get out of the house. Stay there.
Ooh, yes. Okay, that's funny. My wife and I did the leave the bowl outside with the candy because I'm recording right now and she has an appointment and some stuff to take care of tonight.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's
so I was option. Like, just to put the pig trough out, and hopefully there's that one kid who's like, fuck it, and just takes all of it. I applaud that kid. That's a ballsy move. Joining us today, making his second appearance on the Drunken Court. You heard him last time. We couldn't keep him away. It's Mr. Earthworm. What's going on, Worm?
What's going on, everybody? My name's Earthworm, 29 years old, and if I can't steal your heart, I'll steal your mummies.
Jesus. Let's go.
Went with my early 2000s MTV dating show intro. I never got to do it because those shows are dead. So here we go. I figure this is the best place.
That makes me think of the old MTV show Next, and I'm like, exactly. Next.
Exactly.
I don't know. My panties are starting to get close to the floor here, buddy. Keep it going.
There we go. I love it. Worm, thanks for coming back, man. It's always a pleasure to get to record with you. If you haven't checked out Worm and I's previous work together, go listen to the last Drunkcast, and please go check out his podcast, Anime Bros, which we recorded an episode a couple weeks back about Junji Ito's Uzumaki, and that was a blast, man. So thank you again for having me on.
Yeah, that episode went way better than like any normal episode of my stupid co-host who's a dirty butthead and definitely isn't here right now.
And making his debut, because you know what? I told Earthworm before this, I said, Earthworm, because you're returning, your old hat, your old news, nobody cares anymore. It's not exciting and thrilling, but I am super excited about my guest making his debut. He is also the second half of Anime Brothers podcast. I'm a fan of his. I'm sure you are too. Give it up for JD.
Hey, guys, welcome to Flavortown, because really the real party is here now. I don't give a damn about Earthworm. I'm the most popular one here. And thank you guys for having me.
So. Flavortown.
I love this. I'm like, we get one drink in both of them, and we've already destroyed the Anime Brothers
podcast.
I've
already finished one drink. It's gonna be a good one.
I've had like two sips.
two sips, and we've already, like I said, two sips from Earthworm, and the podcast is gone. I'm sorry to hear this.
Can I bring a concern to the table right now? You said Worm, Mr. Earth J.G. Wormington was a Wormanizer? Is that correct? Is this breaking news that you revealed that Earthworm is facing possible charges of Wormanizing? I just want to say I'm disgusted.
This is confirmed. This is confirmed. I will confirm this.
Disgusted? But how is it?
They want me. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, they come wriggling out of the ground when you come near, or do they? Ooh, that's like a horror movie.
I know. We're already off to a scary start with how much aggressiveness is going on right now. It's definitely the drink sitting in. Let me say this. It's a weird day for me. I was telling you guys before, my sleep's been a little bit off. I've been oversleeping, and it fucks me up, all this crazy stuff. But I do also want to say today is officially October 31st, 2023. And so it's spooky season. Last night, I shit you not, on the 30th, I guess, no, it was on the morning of the 31st because it was like 2 a.m. I had a dream last night that Jason Voorhees from the classic Friday the 13th films was chasing me through the woods. And I woke up, it was a scary dream, but I woke up being like, what the fuck is this? This is like tacky on brand for Halloween right now.
Come on, King. Be a little more creative than that with your scary dreams, okay?
Right? It's so stupid. Like, I was like, are you serious? I mean, we recently watched, I showed my wife the first time, the first Friday the 13th movie, and aww, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, she had a blast with it. She's digging in on classic horrors and everything, which we can talk about all that stuff here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Got lots to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. But before we get started, I want to go around the horn one more time and let's tell each other what we're drinking on the Happy Hour cast today. Once again, this is for your enjoyment, to sit back, relax, drink safely and responsibly. Never, never, never drive. It's always cheaper to get an Uber. So let's remember that at the top of the hour. Today, I started off whenever we prep to get the tech side ready, I always have a drink to loosen up. I had a nice margarita. Mm. Right now, I'm sipping on a Glenlivet Scotch.
Oh, Glenlivet, that's a good brand.
Yeah, dude, it's nice. It was a friend gifted it to me for being at his wedding a little bit ago, so that's perfect. But I also have in the dugout right now a nice red blend of some wine going because it's a perfect chilly evening outside of Denver, Colorado. So it's a nice evening for that. Mike, what are we sipping on today?
Water, as I explained earlier, because I work in a heavy transportation industry. We have random alcohol and drug tests. I don't chance it usually on work nights. You can have one or two beers and probably be fine, but I just don't tend to. But I imagine myself, there's been a place I've been meaning to check out. Toronto has what we call distillery district. It used to distill a lot of whiskeys and stuff like that. Shout out Canada Club, you know, and love it. Anyways, they have a place that specializes in sake down there, and I've been wanting to check it out. And they have a couple of different flavors and whatnot. So that's been something I've been kind of curious to go check out. So that's my little bit, I guess.
Yes. Drinking. And of course, as always, we never demand people drink on the Happy Hour cast. It's always a suggestion.
They do.
If you don't, you're kicked out.
Peer pressure.
I was going to say, if you don't, that's fine. We're just going to ruthlessly make fun of you the whole episode. No, I'm just kidding. If anything, it's good to know that the transportation experts out there are not getting hammered before a very important shift to keep us safe out on the roads. I love that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming over, Mike, and hanging out again. Kick it over to Mr. Earthworm. What are we sipping on? I have a feeling I know what we're sipping on today, yeah, but go ahead, man.
So real quick, I do want to shout out Mike for being responsible, and I'm going to look at him like a designated driver for tonight. So he's the one that's getting us home safe.
The streetcar is just outside. It's waiting for us. We can drive off whenever we want. Don't worry about all that gonging and honking. We're just blocking traffic. It's fine.
It's fine. Somebody's got. He's not puking in my car. He's puking out in the fucking street. We will wait. No, I am drinking a fine selection of Downey Ciders from Boston, Massachusetts. I have blueberry, raspberry, and strawberry. Same fucking thing I drank last time from the same 12-pack. I don't drink a lot, so this has been just sitting in my fridge, and I'm like, well.
Maybe you're the simple man.
Yeah, so that's why after a few sips, I'm like, oh boy, I feel fun. It's because I never do this. So I'm glad to get opportunities to drink a little bit and have fun, though. I'm just not a come home and drink kind of guy. I'll smoke weed for that. I smoke too much weed for that.
There we go. And of course, we always encourage that, too, for people at home, doing it safely, responsibly, yada, yada, yada. It's funny, Earthworm, I have a lot of friends that I speak to. Yeah, everyone knows it's not a secret. I'm a booze hound. I enjoy it. I enjoy responsibly. I've cut back quite a bit over the years and everything, but I still love it. But anytime, I have a lot of friends who are like, King, the only time I ever drink is when I'm with you.
What does that say about you?
I know. What it is to me is I bring out the best in people. That's how I kind of interpret it.
You know what? That's right. That makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Definitely not an enabler. Definitely.
Yeah. But yeah. Earthworm bringing up, it's like, I haven't drank since the last time I was on here. And that's why he's a recurring guest, because he's looking for an excuse to imbibe and have some fun with us. So thank you again for coming on, man. JD, you're the Last of Us. What are we sipping on, man?
We are sipping on some nice triple mash Tennessee whiskey from Jack Daniel's. I actually got it in Nashville, so I figured it might as well have some drinks of that while doing this lovely podcast episode.
Hell yeah, man. That sounds great. I was actually, I tuned into one of your guys' recent episodes where you broke down a road trip that you took.
And oh, yeah.
In addition to all the good whiskey talk, I'm a whiskey guy myself. I love bourbon. Everybody knows Burbies on our Discord at Anime Summit. We do tons of scotch as well now. I just got really into that. So that was fun listening to you. And also your ranking. Please go listen to JD's opinion on his ranking of worst drivers in like select, I don't know, mid-Atlantic to like mid-Southern states. I don't know what it like. It was everything from Maine down, right?
Yeah, we took like a J. We went to like Northeast, then we started going down, curved up from Georgia, and then went through Tennessee, Kentucky, and basically Ohio to end it by the time we got back to the Northeast.
I love it, man. I got a kick out of that. Just listen to that recent one. So go check these cats out. Before we get into all our cool topics, we're going to do some links. We're going to do some plugs. So hold on a second. I want you to go to links.animesummit.net. And there, you're going to find tons of cool quality podcast stuff like me and Mike's main show, Anime Plummet. Shout out to the Plummet Boys. You're also going to find our big, you know, the big sister network, Anime Summit. You guys know those cats. JD and Earthworm have both guested on that show before. That's how I got introduced to these cats. It's super fun. We have so much great stuff going on in our Discord as well, so please come join us in the Discord. We're always hanging out there. Same with these boys. They'll chime in every now and then. I know they got a Discord as well that they're going to plug here shortly. That's where you get access to our Patreon, where you get early content. And especially, which was cool, we got to release yesterday and today, yesterday early for our patrons. Mike put together a great Halloween episode for the Plummet Boys to tackle with a Higurashi review. It just dropped today. I'm super proud of it, excited of it. Mike, you crushed it, man. So job well done on that, dude. And I will turn it over. Mike, do you have anything to plug outside of what I just did?
Do I have anything outside to plug? No. Like, I got, save it for later. No actual plugs. Unless you want to check my very undated channel, Figuring It Out, where I do a lot of Japanese merch and stuff like that. Anime related, usually, right? Like, so a lot of anime figures and stuff like that. But I have not been super active posting any content to it, so.
Sweet. And tune in to Plummet to find out what Mike has going on all the time. I'm going to turn it over to Earthworm and JD. Plug away, boys.
All right. I got this.
Here you go.
What I want you to do is go to links.animesummit.net.
Sorry, can we get that link again? Hold on. Yeah. Links dot what?
Animesummit.net. That's where you'll find all Anime
How do you spell
Summit
it?
And Anime Plummet related. No, we don't have a website. We should probably get a website at some point. We don't have a website. So what I want you to do is go, you're listening to a podcast, unless this is on Patreon. If you're listening on Patreon, then don't. But if you're just listening on like Apple, just go to the search bar, type in Anime Brothers. Fuck, if you scroll down to related podcast, we might be there. And you know, if we have an episode that interests you, perhaps you're here for Halloween and horror content. Well, King mentioned it earlier, but the Uzumaki, we did an Uzumaki episode with King. I did an Uzumaki episode. We got a lot of stuff. Listen to the Anime Brothers podcast, or don't. I don't. You're your own person. It's okay. That went off the rails. JD, kick it over to you, buddy.
All right. Well, except for all that stuff, I want to also say, if you guys love One Piece, if anyone listening loves One Piece, I JD,
do.
I'm doing my own solo episodes with occasional guests, and I've already, wink, wink, talked to King a little bit about this. Yeah, One Piece episodes. It's called JD's Quest for the One Piece. So if you don't like our actual podcast, then just come over to me and listen to me talk about One Piece. And there you go.
Wow.
Speaking of that, our editor has to post.
Yes, he does.
The Punk Hazard episode to the main feed.
Oh my God, I really don't like Samurai Wack. He takes his time.
He is kind of, it's a good thing we're not paying this guy.
I know. Damn. He seems like a douche.
He's just, oh my gosh. His time is his own, man.
Wow. So this is what you become like after, because we're coming up to a year anniversary, so like we can look forward to just being bitter podcast hosts. That
3 years, this is what happens. Yep,
it's all downhill from here, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, it's something to look forward to. I'm like, ooh, I could get more bitter as time goes by. That's exciting. but for real, everybody out there, I am currently following along with JD's quest for the One Piece. I got to tune into the Fishman Island arc. It's One Piece. Now that I'm caught up, I love it. I'm in the works with some folks to record some One Piece stuff coming up, and getting to see someone who's new to the journey on like loving it and having fun. That just, I'm one of those cats that I have the most fun just like watching somebody have fun. There's something entertaining about that for me. And JD, I can tell that you're this far. If you're doing it for torturing yourself, I guess you're doing a good job at that too.
Yeah, I'd say that if it wasn't for the manga, I probably would be torturing myself because I'm now rewatching it with a buddy slowly. And I'm realizing that if I did this anime version instead of reading it, I probably wouldn't have made it this far. I'll be honest. But reading it, it's really good. There's a reason why it's the number one selling manga. So,
yes, I've only caught a couple episodes of the anime, just like highlights of fights or memorable arcs that I love to cry at or something like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah.
But no, manga is so much easier to digest. Okay, now that we're all plugged out and we're going to plug again a little bit later, let's go ahead and kick things off. We're doing things a little bit different today, folks. Usually we do what we're reading, watching, go into playing whatever, but it's a spoopy episode. It is officially Halloween of right now at this moment. So we're trying to craft some Halloween stuff. Let's go around the horn. I want to talk about memorable Halloween costumes, moments, drinks, parties, anything you got. I have a feeling Earthworm has something for us. Even if it's a costume from a little kid, I don't care. Let it go.
I wish I was more traditionally a Halloween guy. For a long time, I haven't done much for Halloween. So like as a little kid, we're talking like a ninja, just like your stock standard ninja, or a Power Ranger. I was often the red Power Ranger.
I like that you're like, I'm either a ninja or a Power Ranger. And I'm like, a Power Ranger is basically a ninja.
Yeah. I always said it's a Japanese ninja, but wait, hold on a minute.
Yeah. You're
take
like,
that back.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did you have a group? Would you have a group of friends that you could dress up with? Or were you the lonely Power Ranger?
As like a little kid, it was pretty much just me most of the time on Halloween. I think there were a couple of times where I went out with some other people. I think a couple of times me and JD went out together, if I'm not mistaken.
Did I miss what Power Ranger did you dress up as?
The red Power Ranger.
Oh,
okay. All right. Well, now I'm hijacking this, your time, Earthworm. And now we're going to go around the horn and say our Power Ranger color. I was the Blue Ranger. I'm a big Billy fan. Shout out, Billy. I like the Triceratops. Mike, what color Power Ranger were you?
I'm a little old for this, being the old geezer. So my brothers and my wife, because I'm a cradle robber, were big into Power Rangers. So from watching it over their shoulder, I would probably go with the late stage, like green/white Ranger. Rest in peace, Jason. So,
Yeah, for sure. JD, what about you? Power Ranger, color, character, it doesn't matter.
Early stages, I'd say I was definitely the green, white, mostly green because it was my favorite color. Nowadays, I like the Black Ranger.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. I love this. And Earthworm, you can admit if you were kind of a late bloomer, did you go trick-or-treating too late? Come on, you can tell.
I think there were a couple of times in high school where I, like middle school and high school, where I'd went trick-or-treating. I one time I kind of joined a group. It was like JD's friends because he's a year older than me. So my freshman year, I was kind of clinging to him to be like, please, let me borrow your friends.
Hang out with the cool kids.
Yeah. So I went out with their group of friends, and there was a group of girls dressed as the Spice Girls. And I just kind of like did the thing where you fold your shirt into a bikini and was the the hidden member of the Spice Girls that nobody talked about. Got kicked out. Like I auditioned, got kicked out for doing drugs real quick. So there was that. And then I remember, I don't remember how old I was, but at one point I put on a dress shirt and a tie and a Darth Vader mask and walked around giving people business cards. Like, not actual business cards, but just like fucking little, like, I think it were like baseball cards or something. But I'd like walk around and give people business cards and be like, call me.
And you're okay. Well, actually, you just unlocked a memory I had in the last couple of weeks. So you're looking silly. You're handing out something. People are like, ah, clearly this is a joke. It's fine. Like, ha ha ha. It's all in the spirit, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So my wife and I went out to dinner the other night. We went to a Thai restaurant, one of our favorite places called Mon Thai in Denver. Shout out if anyone's listening. That's the spot for Thai food. And of course, my dog's barking in the back right now. I hear that coming through. So don't worry, listeners. And we're not going to do anything about it either because it's the drunk cast. So we finish up. Woof. It's like a week or two ago. So people will wear costumes, you know, all month long, whatever. That's fine. And this man who was dressed up at, you know, in the parking lot, there was like a little bazaar going on for, you know, craftsmen and sales and whatnot. And people were dressed up. But this guy who was super in a real weird, creepy, like, I guess just like zombie costume, whatnot. Now, granted, it's the middle. It's like in the night. And he starts walking up to us like a corpse, like a zombie. And here's the thing. My wife and I separate for a second as we were like, she was looking at her phone and I was walking to the car. And this guy's like, ugh, like he's in character. And she realizes what's going on, is like, ah, what the fuck is this? And then he kind of like, he's just playing a bit or whatever. But I wanted to tell this man, I'm like, sir, it's not that you're in costume that's freaking out at like my wife. It's that there's a man walking towards a woman in a parking lot at night that is very disturbing.
Right.
Like, nobody wants that. It was not good. He was a little bit too into it. I'm like, it's fun to get dressed up. It's fun to have all, you know, play a bit or whatever. But like, if you're a man walking to a woman towards a woman at night, don't do that. You're sending the wrong message.
Oh shit. That's fucking hilarious.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. He could have just been trying to test if she was going to be able to survive in a zombie apocalypse. You can't say what the fuck. You're supposed to actually take a hammer and hit him in the head. Just saying.
Yeah, just exactly. Saying. It's,
actually, I think that is like if she had totally taken him out, that would have been just cause or whatever. I don't know.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it was like a week or it was like 2 weeks ago. So it's like it's not quite at the level of Halloween or whatever.
It wasn't even on Halloween. Oh, yeah. Damn.
I know. Exactly. What? Well, because it wasn't on Halloween because right now is Halloween, baby.
You're right. Oh, yeah. You know what? You know, that's the drink. I apologize.
Silly boy.
Oh, that is. You know what? In fact, that's our first drink of it. JD's made a slip up and I make up rules as we go. Cheers, boys. It's great to have you on.
All right. Cheers.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Earthworm, I loved your story about everybody dressing up as Spice Girls. That was the hot thing as a 90 kid growing up. And that's...
Oh, this was in 2011.
Okay, I misinterpreted.
You have to drink now, King.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And also, damn. Yeah, all right, there we go. I like it.
Mm. No, but other than that, I will say a few years ago, and I want to say it was like 2019, right before... you know, global pandemic, which is the scariest thing of all. But our friend from Connecticut came up, and my buddy decided to throw a Halloween party in his tiny little apartment. And JD, you and your wife dressed up as, like, gangsters or whatever, like 1920s, like Al Capone folk. But I dressed up like a blue-haired waifu, generic blue-haired waifu bee, and it was good. I felt great.
Oh,
day one trying to cop that. A feel or even a bet or
my partner was there, and she was you know as into it as she could be, watching her boyfriend wear a skirt.
I love it. Any other memorable costumes, moments, history of Earthworm during spoopy times?
I wish I had something for you, King. I got to go out and make some new Halloween memories.
Yeah, now that I'm starting to think back on certain one of I like picked a really clean one, but then I remember my time in college and how big of a deal Halloween was with like going to concerts and trying psychedelics for the first time.
Hell yes. Like, okay. See, I want to like, hear your stories, dude.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't need to tell any of those. But do you guys, and please feel free to say no, do you guys talk about where you're from on your podcast? Like just the general state.
At least, yeah.
Okay. I want to let JD go, but then I have a question about your guys' state, and I'm sure you know what's coming up because of the spooky man that lives in your state. But JD, any memorable Halloween costumes, moments, anything like that?
Well, like my co-host here, Mr. Earthworm, I'm not much of a Halloween person myself. I apologize ahead of time for this, but I will say there was one memorable costume that I wore for me as a child that also had a memory regarding the costume. It's no secret to anyone that, you know, doesn't like the team. I'm a big New York Yankees fan for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go as what I guess little kids decide to do is their favorite baseball player. I went as Derek Jeter. I basically wore his jersey. I had the hat on, and I even carried a small little like Portland Sea Dogs bat because I'm from Maine. And I just acted like I was, you know, Derek Jeter, and I went around and got candy. And how it was memorable was because I didn't think much of it, and I decided to go to a gentleman's house who decided to dress up as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That was his house. He had the chainsaw. This man, I'll tell you right now, this is like, I'm pretty sure I was only 7 or 8, or maybe it's right when I met Earthworm, but I was still a young kid. He pointed me out in the crowd. Like, I saw him point at me with the chainsaw running, and then he pointed at my jersey, and then he, like, did the no, like, no, that's not good, because, you know, mostly in Maine, you're supposed to be a Boston Red Sox fan. I'm assuming that's what he was trying to get to. So he didn't make a noise. He just kept saying no, like giving that head nod, like no. So I'm just looking at him and he starts booking it towards me with the chainsaw going. Of course he pulled the chains off, but he's like running at me full bore. And I batshit run out of there. Like, oh my God, this man's going to kill me. So because I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm running, and my mom, I think I'm with my mom. She's losing it. Cause she knows it's a joke, but I think I'm going to die. So just being a Yankees fan, so I run about half a block down and then eventually start to walk back. He sees me again and he chases me again. This man would not let me get candy at his house.
And that's why you don't like horror movies. We figured exactly. It out, dude. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
Traumatized.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, damn, I think we're doing this drunk cast has turned into therapy at this point because
is that why I'm scared of horror movies, guys?
I think so, dude. I really do.
Okay, so that's something too, is like I feel terrible because like I mentioned before, my wife is out at appointments at the moment, and we just started getting trick-or-treaters just because the sun is setting early now. And there's just incessant ringing and knocking, and my dog is going crazy, so it's going to show up throughout the whole episode. But it's like, I'm recording, there's nothing I can do, and everybody's going crazy. But the idea of just terrorizing children is something people don't do anymore at Halloween.
I'll teach this kid to wear a Yankees jersey in my area.
Yeah, what a commitment to the Red Sox, which no offense to either team, but go fuck off because I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, so go Orioles. Go!
All right. Oh, the Orioles, wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we just had our one good year in a bajillion years, so it feels nice, but that's okay. God, what a crazy, that is like horrifying, dude. And but I remember the days when you could go trick-or-treating and there'd be like a scarecrow stuffed pumpkin man on the steps. And yeah. you're, and it's like, take a candy, and you would go and take one, and then it would grab you because it was actually.
I've seen that too. That's happened to me. That's probably why I don't go into haunted houses. I think I'm gonna get grabbed, and now I'm an adult. I will punch you. You know, it's a reaction. It's not like I mean to hurt you, but don't touch me. You know, so what I
mean? Yeah. No, I feel the same. I'll freak out with that kind of shit. Yeah, I like I like my thing with Halloween, and it's funny. I love horror. I love. Gore, stuff like that we talked, me and Earthworm talked about that, but when it comes to Halloween, like, I love the fun side of it. Like, that's what I want.
If you're making the little kids, like the little kids cry, you're going too far, I think. Like, yeah. There's going to be some people that definitely are like, no, fuck that, I want to get, it's for the little kids. Like, let them know that it's safe. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's more so like it's time to not take yourself so seriously. Dress up in something good. Like I went to a Halloween party on Friday night, and I dressed up as a nun, and I have I have a full grown beard, and just looked. I'm like, yes, it's time to be silly. It's time to get drunk. You know, it's for funsy. If you want to wear something spooky, that's fine or whatever. But don't be like fucking weird. That's what I mean.
So, King, on the topic of goofy costumes, I called my friend on Saturday evening to see if he wanted to play some computer games. And he picks up and he's dressed up as Jesus.
Oh, I saw that.
He was going to a Halloween party. And he looks at me and goes, I'm Jesus. And then shows his friend, also my friend, on the video, and he was like, Steve's also Jesus.
Two so Jesuses. Who would have thought?
I made them choose a denomination. I was like, all right, you guys got to pick which denominational Jesus you are.
And everyone knows the right answer is Catholic, because that's what I was raised. No,
that's what the buddy I called. He was like, I'm Roman Catholic. I don't care what Steve picks.
Exactly. It's like, fuck
Eastern
you.
Orthodox. Here we go.
Oh,
here
fuck.
We go.
Oh, the battle. The battle
super
continues.
Strict.
Joke's on you guys. I'm picking Korean Jesus.
Yeah. No, it's funny too. I went to Friday night, went to a party. Saturday night, went to a comedy show. Still, I dressed as a nun again. Why not reuse a costume? These guys that were dressed as crusaders from, you know, like the fucking crusades way back in the damn day.
Wow.
Saw me and they were like, go with God, brother. And I'm like, nah, bro, this was like a joke kind of thing.
I can't. Wait, do you guys like, are you serious? Are you going to go crusade stuff?
Yeah. Like, what the hell? We're at a comedy show. What are we doing right now?
People are a big fan of Templars tend to be like those kind of bros, you know?
The Templar bros are into it.
we can call them what they are, Mike. They're Proud Boys.
Yeah. They're proud. There we go. There we go. Crusade Proud Boys. Flipping it back to JD. Any other memorable costumes, moments, anything like that for Halloween? I mean, you shared something with us that is very deep and scarring, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever told Earthworm that, actually, to be honest.
You've probably told me most things, but it's been over 20 years. I've forgotten a lot, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been nowadays, like, except for when my wife once in a while I'll dress up for Halloween, but I just don't do it as often. So for the memorable moments, no, I've gone to a couple Halloween parties, but I was mostly just being a normal guy and I'm there watching other people being dressed up. So I have really nothing to give except for that one scarring moment of my life.
Well, that was that's a hell of a story to share with us. And I totally, that's another great part of Halloween is just like, it's a freak show because everybody's letting loose and whatnot. And like, why not watch? Why not be entertained and why not entertain others? That's
right.
Like,
right.
That's how I feel about it. Mike, what about you, man? What's going on in Canada? Do you guys have Halloween? Did you have it growing up? What's the deal?
Since Canada is US's hat, we basically get everything that the US does, albeit more expensive. That's all. Anyways, our dollar's worth less and the things cost more. That's basically how Canada works. But our healthcare is covered for the most part.
I'll take it, baby.
Hey, it's not perfect, but better than nothing. Anyways,
So I'm going to take you back in time to the year 1985. When
good
I,
Lord.
1985.
When Ghostbusters came out. And this was the first movie I saw in the theaters, and I was like 6 years old. And it scared the bejesus out of me. Like, absolutely scared me to death. Like, that was frightening for... Maybe that was a little too much for a six-year-old. Anyways, but nonetheless, I dress up as a Ghostbuster my first year. So my mom gets me, like, coveralls and puts some patches on it and makes me up a cardboard backpack so kindly, right? But then I remember I was at school, I was in grade 2 at the time, and some kid had gotten the plastic, like, toy that had the things pop out the ends and twist around and stuff. Like, the actual, like, proton packs, like, but it was made out of blue plastic. Anyways, I remember just being like, oh, mine sucks, right? I was like, anyways, I just remember that. Later years, I remember my mom getting pattern and material to do up an Ewok. And so for a couple of years, actually, I dressed up as an Ewok. I was like, I think I want to say like 7 and 8 years old, 9, maybe somewhere around there. Did Dracula a couple of years.
Mike, I speak for everyone when I'm like, if you have any photographic evidence of Ewok, Mike, please, please take a pic. You'll have to take a picture of a picture, I'm sure.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure my mom. So. You got to remember, there's no digital cameras back then.
Right, exactly. That's why I was like, you're going to have to take a picture of a Polaroid picture or something.
There is. My mom, bless her heart, she passed away in 2017. All of her albums are now in Alberta, with where my dad lives and my brothers. So it would not be anytime soon. I got to go out there and visit my family, but... Yeah, I'll see if I can find something, but I'm pretty sure I have one picture of me as an Ewok, and she got like a bamboo staff, like in stuff that I had.
Oh, that's so cute! I love that. I feel like the making of the costumes was such a 80s 90s kids thing for parents. Yeah. It's so easy and cheap to buy a costume now. Like,
it's
you really had to make those fucking things. Like I can remember dressing up as like Peter Pan as a kid. And my mom just like took a bunch of felt and made a costume out of it.
Now all cosplaying is basically, going as anime characters for Halloween. You know, it's a lot more bigger of a thing. It's more easier to access.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, 100%. So many more anime. If there was a kid that dressed up as anime, they'd get just bullied relentlessly.
Dare you dress up as an anime character on Halloween, nerd?
You were allowed to like Dragon Ball Z. That was
exactly.
Okay. That was okay. Yeah.
How dare you dress up for something that you like, you fucking dork. Mike, I love that, man. The only highlight moment I would mention that is appropriate to share at this moment, because we got to keep it moving. As always, we take too long on topics, is one year I dressed my sister helped me and my friends in seventh grade or something. We all dressed up as the members of KISS. We had four guys that were willing to do it, but my sister did our makeup, and she is a wonderful, like, she just is fucking talented at shit. Like, she's not an artist, she's not a musician, but she can just do, like, you know those people that you're like, damn, you're good at singing and you're good at, like, makeup art for no reason.
Jack of all trades, or Jill of all trades in this
exactly.
case, I guess.
So my sister did all of, me and my three other friends as the band KISS. We got a bunch of, like, leather outfits, which is weird for seventh graders to be covered in leather. And in case anyone was wondering, I was the Catman, Peter Criss, who is the drummer of KISS. And I looked fucking, like, she killed it on the makeup. So that's, like, a memorable one. And the only other thing worth noting is I took acid the first time when I was a freshman in college at this band called Lotus. It was Halloween night. The theme was David Bowie and Pac-Man. They did, like, a mashup set of David Bowie tunes and Pac-Man, like, music. So it was absolutely crazy. I took a tab. I lost my mind completely. And first off, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad, kids. But if you were going to do drugs, which you shouldn't, less is more. Always remember less is more.
King, I have to ask, and I'm not trying to condone it. I just, so what does like acid feel like? Hate to do this now in the middle of the podcast.
No, that's
already,
a fine.
But I need to know.
No.
I'm curious.
No, that's a fine question. It's a euphoric feeling of an extreme release of your endorphins going wild. So it's like a flood of just feeling good.
Okay.
If you at low doses, which I would recommend, if someone's like, here's a tab of acid, just be like, pull out your old trusty pocket knife, cut off like a teeny tiny sliver, pop that in and see how you feel after an hour or two, and you'll feel a little funky. Things are funnier than you would expect. I probably took too much when my first time doing it. I've since taken I've done acid a bunch of times. I have no problem talking about taking psychedelics. Everything in moderation, of course. I'm a big stressor of that. And I didn't take psychedelics for a long time because I was not mentally doing well. And, you know, if I know a lot of people are treating depression and anxiety with it, with small doses, they're like micro dosing. And I'm like, well, what about macro dosing? But it's a sensation of euphoria is coming back to it. And it's a lot of fun. But like I said, less is more. So that's what I would recommend for people. For that kind of thing. So those are my memorable Halloween stuff. I'm more proud of the Kiss costume that my sister made than taking acid for the first time at a Halloween.
Of course.
Actually, I'm making up a new newsflash. That's right, folks. We have a new topic that's getting inserted in. It's called "What's It Like to Have Stephen King Live in, Be from Your State?" They have given me the permission to totally dox them. We're going to, and in this episode, we'll post their addresses and their bank accounts in the show notes so you guys can go check them out. JD and Earthworm, what's it like being from Maine with spooky Stephen King? Are things spookier and weirder in Maine than the rest of the country? I'm from Maryland. Mike's from Canada, completely different country. Like, what's up with that?
Bro, literally no. No, you want to know all these fucking towns that Stephen King talks about? You want to know what they really are?
Yes.
They're fucking tchotchke towns, bro. You want to know what happens when you go up the fucking mid-coast of Maine? The only fucking shops you find are shitty little wine and cheese shops and 20 shops where you can buy a goddamn mug and a t-shirt that say Maine. And that's it, bro. It's pretty. It's not spooky. I don't think it's spooky.
I'll have to argue that, Earthworm. I want to say
you think Maine's genuinely more like spooky than other places.
No. It's not more spooky, but it does. If you go up rurally, like up north, near to where Mike is, up going heading to Canada, and there's not a very vast population. There are certain, if you look into the history of Maine, certain secluded areas, of course, that have had Native American. Burials and stuff like that around, that tend to be very haunted forests. So I'm sure Stephen King gets a lot of inspiration from some of like the very secluded areas. But if you just go to Maine and think, wow, it's probably going to be super haunted. No. So I'd say that. But I think there are some little pockets in Maine where you could truly probably find some pretty dark history. And I've looked it up just because I'm into the paranormal stuff. So.
Sure.
Totally.
That's fair. You could definitely get lost in the fucking woods.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That is easy to do. So if you're afraid, if you like survival horror is your thing, about it, we got plenty of survival horror.
There are still a lot of woods here.
Yeah.
No, I love that, man, too. Because like the two places that I always tell people that I've been to in Maine, I went to two summers in a row, Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park. That
Acadia's
was like,
nice. Yep.
Oh, it's gorgeous up there. Mike actually has a real fascination with the Appalachian Trail. He's always sending me great videos and TikToks in the Summit Discord of like, oh, here's some like haunting information about West Virginia, about the hills of Appalachia and everything, which is a very haunted place. And like,
really,
just Mike would absolutely love Acadia National Park. I don't know, Mike, have you been? You're it's not too far
I've
from you. Have you been to Maine?
To
Bangor, Maine, I think. Bangor, is that
Banga.
That's a place, yep.
That's what we call it. We call it Banga.
It's like probably like, 4 hours in from the Canada border, give or take.
Yeah, it was actually funny, like real quick divergence here. We were going to visit family in Nova Scotia, and we're in Ontario, and Quebec was just at the point they're going to do the referendum on if they're going to separate. And my dad was so nervous about anti-like Anglophone sentiment in Quebec. He's like, we're driving for the U.S. So we went down and went through all the, all the New England states, basically, down New York and across, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and then back up at New Brunswick, basically, just to avoid it. It was very funny.
That is funny.
I love that, too, Mike. You started that story with, I'm sorry for the diversion. Everybody raise your glasses because this show is nothing but diversions.
All right,
cheers, everyone.
Cheers to Divergence, cheers. That weird teen dystopia series.
I'm almost finished my second glass. Thank you, guys.
Yes, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. I finished my scotch, and I'm moving in. There we go. I'm moving into my red blend wine. I'm feeling really loose. I'm feeling much better than I came. I did not feel good coming onto this. I'm going to be,
so,
I did not.
Tell me, what is the difference between just a red wine and a red blend wine?
Oh, can I take this? I work in the wine industry.
Yeah, though. Here we
please,
go.
Please, wait. I just want to be
in the wine industry.
Wait,
here
wait, wait.
Comes.
I want to be clear about something before Earthworm tells the truth. I don't fucking know because I'm an idiot. So
okay.
I don't know anything, but we're Earthworm. Please,
there's some bitterness here between these two hosts. Oh, look at me. I work in the way. Okay, give it
we're,
to me.
This is just our relationship. Okay, first of all, I want to preface this by saying I fucking hate wine. It's gross, and red wine was sent down by the devil to tempt man into being worse than they already are. Anyway.
Yeah, but you also don't like the Allman Brothers Band, so you have bad taste.
There we go. Let him have it, King.
I don't want to talk about it. I like.
I don't want to talk about it.
I like the Allman Brothers Band on album. I don't like them live. Okay, can we?
That's
can we agree
you know
to
what?
That?
I'll take it. I'll you know what? Right. I will take it. Earthworm Fair. Is back in my good graces. Go off on the wine.
All right. Yeah. So the difference. So what makes it a red blend is normally a red wine is one grape. So you have your Cabernet Sauvignon that is made with one type of grape called the Cabernet Sauvignon grape. When you have a red blend, it is usually more than two grapes, I believe. I think if it's just two, they have most of them have names for like certain blends that way. So red blends, like three or more different types of grapes just thrown in. And it usually for me, it makes it way worse. But King obviously has a different palate than me. King, what can I ask? What are you drinking tonight?
It is a, oh my God, I just realized this is a really trashy company too.
That's okay.
It's that Josh brand. Have you heard of the Josh
oh
brand?
My God.
Okay. Not to dox my fucking co-host anymore, but his real name is Josh and his mom buys that wine because that's her boy's name.
All right. Blake, take this off right now.
We're going to bleep out. Okay. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bleep out Earthworm saying Josh, but you can still hear him say Josh, and same with me. It's just a bleep over top of it, but you can clearly hear it.
I love it.
Worst editing ever.
So it's Josh Legacy Red Blend, bottled by Joseph Carr. And where is this from? Let's look at where was this?
Probably button? California.
I imagine it was probably California.
King, I gotta ask permission. Am I able to take a little side tangent off of Earthworm's here wine salesman?
Are you gonna tell an embarrassing story about me?
No, it's not an embarrassing story about Earthworm here, but it's more about me. At the time, I was a salesman at the same company before I left.
Yeah,
and I had to sell wine, but also like my good friend Earthworm here, we don't like kind of selling product because we feel like we're kind of just being liars and stuff like that, but you have to do it. That's how capitalism and company works. So
sure,
essentially I had to sell wine, and this old lady comes up to me and she asked me, hey, I need to buy this really nice wine for my family. They're all coming down. I don't know where it was from, but she wanted to kind of impress them, and I don't know very much about wine at the time. So I just walked over to one of my most expensive wines you could probably have in that store, and I said, this is a good one, and I lied to her. And she said, okay, and bought it. And ever since then, I've thought about that, and I felt like a piece of shit. So,
dude, honestly, that's the move. She wants to impress people. It's not about how good the wine tastes. It's about how much it cost. I promise you that.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
if,
yeah.
If she tells people it was a $60 bottle of wine, everybody's going to pretend it's fucking delicious.
There you go. Okay. Well, there we go. I don't feel so guilty anymore, guys.
No. I mean,
yay!
Yeah. Doing your job as a young, you know, just doing your job, there's no shame in that. That's totally fine. And I think you're right about there's certain people chasing a price tag. And God, I want to pause for a moment and just say, what is King's Drunken Court become? Now we're like pretentious wine snobs talking about pricing out wine. And usually this is trash. At this point, I feel like Earthworm, we were already talking about hentai grind on our last.
Yeah, we need to trash this up a little bit.
Can we
more.
Have a
yeah,
side yeah. episode about that?
Yeah.
We'll get Psalm to give us the hentai grind 101.
Exactly. Oh, no, but that's what I love about this show is like we can get into wine. Like, I love drinking wine, man. It's great with dinner. It's such a perfect drink in the afternoon. A nice white wine in the afternoon when the sun is still shining. It's awesome. So it's okay to be going off all the rails on this. Where the hell are we on?
We had just finished what's a scheduled topic, and this all stems from a discussion about Stephen King living in Maine, and we also live in Maine.
Yes, that's that. Okay, so let me ask this. I'm going to bring it back to Halloween because wine is
all right,
very
bring
Halloween.
It back to Halloween.
I'm bringing it back to Halloween with you guys. Okay. Is there any Stephen King story that as Mainers you have enjoyed or consumed or anything of note that you, or are you like, no, I'm good.
It
thank
movie.
You.
I enjoy the It movie.
Okay. I want to talk about the It movie. So,
okay. Wait,
I'm
wait,
go
the old one,
off,
just to clarify,
so we can
just
wait.
The old one
or the
I'm
new
talking
one?
About the new one, but maybe it applies to the old one too.
Okay. You know what? We're rearranging everything. Mike, is it okay with you if we talk about It, the movie for a bit?
Yeah, please. Why, was I supposed to talk about something?
Yeah, Mike. Mike, you're old enough. Mike, you're old enough. You saw the. Did you see It airing live on TV? The Tim Curry version when you were young.
Oh, did I have Tim? It was. I can barely remember it.
Tim Curry did a great job.
Because it's a made-for-TV movie. It did not. It wasn't a theater movie. It was in two parts, and it came on TV first.
It's a three-hour movie, and it was made-for-TV. Holy
But it
fuck.
Was super popular back then. Like, I remember kids at school talking about it endlessly. Like, it was just, it was super big, man. But
yeah,
yeah
it was
anyways,
it was massive. But yeah. So from the Mainers.
I can't, don't ask me anything about it. I don't remember a thing about that movie.
You just remember, Mike just was like, it was big. And I'm like, yep, that makes sense. But yeah, that most people don't know that was a made-for-TV movie when it came out. In two parts. So it was like a two-week special. I miss made-for-TV movies, man. But I don't want to go down that road because we'll be here all goddamn day. Earthworm and JD, talk about it. Talk about Stephen King. Enlighten us.
Okay.
You want to go first, buddy?
Yeah, all right. I got a fucking problem with It as a
oh,
horror
Jesus
story,
Christ.
Okay? As a horror story, I think it's a good story. I think it's a great coming-of-age story. I do not think it's a good horror story.
What's your definition of horror, then?
My definition of... Okay, so what I want out of a horror story, and this if you want more of my explanation of this, go to Anime Brothers, the Uzumaki episode. I talk about this because Uzumaki gave this to me, okay? If at the end, spoilers for It, by the way, at the end, if at the end of the fucking story, all the kids have to do is go, I'm not afraid of you anymore. And then the horror's gone. To me, that ruins every bit of being scared that had happened. Like if it's a simple fix, I mean, even to the extent where if you can like kill the horror. To an extent, it loses some of its luster because it's like, well, I guess there was a way to prevail. So with it, especially being just, we're not afraid of you anymore, I thought it would just ruin the horror aspect of It.
Well, I have to say that is literally wrong, though, because that's only the first part of the movie. Because the second part is not, I'm not afraid of you anymore. They actually have to physically fight the creature. The first one is, I'm not afraid anymore because they're kids. So,
and I like the second one better. I did like the second one.
Most people hate the second
better.
One.
But I see, I'm weird when it comes to horror. I think the first one's probably a better story. And again, as a story, I think it's wonderful. You know, it's a coming of age story that's got a little hero's journey in it. It's a fantastic story. As a piece of horror fiction, I'm like, the clown should have killed the kids at the end and then slithered back into the sewers. That's when it's fucking scary. Then I'm afraid of the sewers. You want to know why Halloween's scary? Because Michael Myers is still running around. If they got him in the first movie, I'm sorry. He ain't a legend.
So, by definition, all zombie movies are really good horror because they always end with pretty much all the victims never surviving.
No.
Well, that's what you just said.
You're right. I did kind of just say that. But you have to also do, like, other horror stuff right.
Okay.
And I'm not saying nobody can't. Like, I've seen horror movies where people survive at the end and it's okay, but it's the fact that the horror is still there. It's not that there's a total triumph. It's that, at best, you escaped this one situation, but if you go back, there's what are the odds you're going to do it again? Whereas it felt, at least at the end of the first movie, it felt like, whoa, boy, I'm glad that's over with, and we don't have to deal with that anymore. Not, holy shit, I hope he doesn't come back. Holy shit, I hope he doesn't come back.
Okay.
End rant.
End of Stephen King rant. JD, what about you, man? Any Stephen King, or if you want to elaborate on It or anything like that that stuck out to you as a Mainer?
Well, I have to say that I'm not a big horror fan, and so that's why I'm just giving Earthworm shit. So he has a lot more he can say about horror. I just
you like to test me on my
I like
on
to
my
test
takes,
you.
And I appreciate that because it
I
makes
you.
Me like work through
you.
Them.
But I think that it's like It was one of the first. I think I haven't watched any other Stephen King movies except for Misery, which we could talk
Shawshank
about
Redemption?
That as well.
Oh, that's my that's
you've seen
my
Shawshank.
Stephen King.
I know
jam.
You've seen Shawshank.
I've seen pieces of it. I've never watched it front to back.
You oh, fucking bro. Piece of shit. We're watching that movie the next time I see you. It's my favorite movie.
Okay.
Which
anyway.
One was it? Misery, you said?
Misery and Shawshank. Is, yeah, he was talking about Shawshank. The only other Stephen King movies I've watched front to back was It and Misery, but it's also because I read Misery, so
Me
I
too.
Wanted to watch it to see how good it was, and I think the book is better, but it was still a good movie.
I wonder how many I've seen a lot of Stephen King movies, but jeepers. Like the, so this year I've seen Silver Bullet, and I've seen, depressingly, Pet Sematary for the first time.
The
ever.
New one or the old one?
No, the original, the OG.
Oh. Michael,
the OG Pet Sematary. I never.
Michael,
watched
I'm gonna stop. Michael, I'm stopping you right now because we're segueing that next. But JD, finish us off with either Misery or It.
No, so when it comes to It, I actually watched it on TV because it had the special playing them back to back. And I'm not much of a horror fan, but for some reason, the storytelling and the way of these kids kind of like, if you look at now the new Stranger Things, it's like these younger kids having to deal with this entity that is using their fears to best them. And even though it was scary, I actually was enthralled by Tim Curry's portrayal of this creature. It was really well done. And though it was scary, it also kind of made me laugh because he's being a clown. So I thought it was really well done. And then at the second part, when they're all adults and having to face it again, I found it very lackluster and almost not scary anymore. So that's why I just have an argument with Earthworm about how like it needs to be more of like the bad guys can't just prevail. Or, I mean, the good guys can't prevail or whatever. I just enjoyed it. I haven't watched the new version, which I heard is a lot more creepier. But I think the original It was actually really well done. I enjoyed it for what it was, especially knowing it was only TV released, you know?
Oh, 100%. When you realize it's just a made-for-TV movie, I think Tim Curry did and he's just...
Curry's good.
Just a wonderful person, too, is what I've heard from people who have met him at fan cons and all these different things. I know he's just like... He's still hanging on, man. He's still kicking and he's still vibing. And I love that about Tim Curry. So This episode's dedicated to Tim Curry for being a fucking cool guy. So there you go, Tim.
For some reason, Tim Curry's one of those guys to me that I always think is dead. Like, as we were talking, I almost said R.I.P. the homie. And I was like, wait, I just had this conversation with my partner.
We don't need to wish that upon the man, okay?
I don't wish. I love Tim Curry. He's fucking great. A Rocky Horror Picture Show. Amazing. But for some reason in my mind, Tim Curry has already passed away. And that's bad.
It's that weird thing, too, where... So, like, he is someone of all of our parents' generation will like, love and understand him. Even Mike at 175 years old, like... Even his parents.
175
will...
years young.
Oh, there you go.
175 years old so far.
Oh, I'm going to correct Earthworm. 175 years fun. There we go. but he's just like one of these last bastions of comedy, just wackiness of silliness from the old age that's still kicking and having fun.
Underrated so. In Home Alone 2 also. Just got to say
oh.
that.
Oh, 100%.
I loved you in Home Alone 2 out of all yes. his roles.
I'll there just we say go. He was hilarious. I just found him fascinating in that movie as well. So,
But yeah. is Pennywise the Clown 2 in It? I think he crushed it. JD, I agree with you. I'm a little bit more of the first part of It over the second. We won't spoil anything about it or anything, but the only spoiler is they kind of reveal the monster
yeah.
if you catch my drift. And I'm a big believer of like the idea of the monster is always scarier than revealing the monster. So I will take that a lot of times. But thank you both for you guys are like, when non-Mainers ask us about being Mainers and fucking Stephen King, that's gotta be it.
I mean, it's nice to get recognition because Maine isn't known for much when it comes to celebrities or anything kind of cool. So when you're like, hey, you have Stephen King there, it's like, yeah, we got something. So
yeah, hey, we got that.
I love that. And let me say this, as other horror writer masters, like I said, I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. Shout out O's for a great season. We have Edgar Allan Poe lived in Baltimore for a long time and died there. You can go to the gutter in Baltimore where he died. And
wait
my
a minute.
Sister. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He died in the streets. I
didn't
it was
know
syphilis,
that.
But he was like he died in poverty at the time and kind of out on the streets. You can go to the gutter he died in. And my sister... And I went there once and she was like, lay down next to the gutter and I'll take your picture.
oh, God.
Class act all the way.
Class act all the way. Now, I'm going to... So, by the way, in case everyone was wondering what topic we're on right now, we're just putting in Stephen King as a topic now, which I my favorite thing about this show is it's always on the fly. It's always on the cuff. It's whatever the guests want to talk about, want to go off on. And Mike... has some Stephen King stuff to share with us. Mike, is there a Stephen King story? Anything that struck you as young? You mentioned Pet Sematary, which is that movie is pivotal in fucking me up as a young person and giving me
I can imagine
terrors, everything.
So we just watched it recently and I watched it with one of my friends who last time he watched it was, you know, a young married man, no kids. Now he has a 3-year-old and he turns to me and he kind of turns to me on Discord and he goes, yeah, that hits a lot different when you're actually a dad. I was like, you okay there, buddy? You're going to be all right.
Like, well, dad me, of a like, young child too.
A specifically young child because of what happens in it. Right.
Yeah. With Cage. And it's like Cage is the young boy in it. And I fucking hate that kid. Whoever that actor is. He fucked me up when I saw that movie as a 12-year-old.
Buddy, like some of the shots like of them with the cat, and I'm like, that's not like an animatronic cat. That's just a cat they're jabbing a needle into. Like, did they like
the 80s, baby?
And I'm like, I don't know if this is all right. And same with the kid did such a good job. I was like, wow. But also they're like manhandling this kid, and I'm just like, this is freaky, man. This is freaky. Anyways,
yeah,
that was something else.
And we should tell people too. The Story of Pet Sematary, which I think more people are going to be familiar with it, so that's why we didn't have to explain it. But Pet Sematary is family moves to a town in Maine. I'm looking at you, Earthworm and JD. And they move to a new town. It's mom, dad, young baby boy, probably like a year and a half, 2 years old.
And like a six-year-old daughter, basically.
And a six-year-old daughter. Mom and daughter go away to visit grandma and grandpa at some point or whatever. And the young boy gets hit by a truck rolling by. And of course, the family is devastated. Whenever, you know, your child dies, it's the worst thing in the world. And he finds out that down the road or like behind his house in the woods or whatever is
originally it was the cat, the daughter's cat that gets killed.
Exactly. Right? And they bury the cat and eventually the son in this quote unquote pet cemetery. But it's an Indian burial ground that's haunted. So if you put a body that's dead into the ground, it comes back alive, except it's not alive. And sometimes, ooh, Mike, sometimes dead is better.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah, the character that King loves to put into his stories, the sort of whimsical old, gentleman kind of thing, that the mist almost like part mystic, part soothsayer, part like, you know, spinning old yarns and stuff like that, he's so fond of doing. But in this movie he kind of plays a double-edged role, because he shows him the place and then regrets it profusely afterwards and knows exactly what he's gonna do, and he's like, don't do it, some things you just can't bring back. You know, and it's like, well, buddy, you opened that fucking Pandora's box. Too late now.
Just so we know, the actor's name is Fred Gwynn. And Fred Gwynn was Herman Munster in the Munsters series. And that's that road. You don't want to go down that road there. That's a bad road right there. Which is how, to me, that's how JD and Earthworm sound, by the way.
That's just, really?
Yeah, you guys you're like, you don't want to go down that road now.
My goodness.
That road.
You don't
That road.
You don't want to watch that anime.
No, I've been, for real though, I've been told by people, by a girl who lived in Michigan before she moved here. She was like, you have such an accent, I can't get over it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's the same thing I heard from a girl from Tennessee. And I'm like, are you going to talk about accents?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so, like, we don't realize it at all, but apparently the word wicked is not a normal descriptor word.
Oh, no, that is a very Northeast, like,
yeah.
I remember Finding Nemo plays on that joke, because there's, like, at one point they capture some crabs or something like that, and they're, like, they're talking in that sort of New England style, like, oh, yeah, it's totally wicked, you know.
Yeah, they got the hard Boston accent. Hey, fuck you, buddy!
Yes, exactly. In a Pixar movie, they totally said, fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's what they would have. Trust me, if they were actually being true to Boston, that's what it would have said.
Goddamn townies. Anyways.
I love that. Yeah, like I said, this cast is all over the place now, because now we're just doing accents, and now we're just talking about regional speech, and that's what you get on King's Drunken Court, man. I have no control. I feel absolutely... One, like, I'm definitely grooving right now, so we're into it. Let's get off. I'm done Stephen King. We're done, unless Mike had something else to say.
No, I think that the movie that of his that still stands out is Green Mile. That's all I got.
Green Mile's a great fucking
Green
movie.
Mile's his movie
Not
too?
A spooky movie. Yeah, that's a Stephen King short
story. Dude,
he's
like one of the most he's like the most prolific American writer besides the guy who wrote Dune.
J.K. Rowling?
No, J.K. Rowling's not American, and also she's a piece of shit.
I know. Oh, I just try to trigger.
Actually, it's weird. The real prolific writer of America is the guy who created Scientology.
L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard, just because he has like 100 novels, but they're all terrible. But I guess he's still prolific in his own way. But anyways, yeah. If there's a Scientology listener out there, we love you on the show. Thanks for tuning in. You know, you're awesome for two. Sorry, you can't.
You have help
us.
Here. You
Tell
have
Tom
somewhere
Cruise
to go.
I said hi.
Nah, fuck that, well, dude. I don't care if you're a bat, if whatever you got going on, if you're listening, you're good in my book.
Yeah, and Silver Bullet, which I watched recently, that was both written enough, like a short story novella written by Stephen King, and he did screenplay adaptation, and boy, you know, if this is proof that anyone can approve, it's that, because boy, he needed someone to edit that thing down.
No, that's his fucking problem. That's why I can't read Stephen King books, is he has no concept of editing down.
They're so long.
Okay, well then never mind. Then
yeah,
you are what you are, and you'll never improve. Okay, let's move on. King, next subject.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could talk more about Stephen King.
Can I propose a subject?
You will propose a subject right after I say this fun fact about Stephen King, the famous made-for-TV movie and novel Cujo. He wrote that completely under the influence of alcohol and cocaine, and has no recollection of writing that. That made-for-TV movie was a huge deal when we were young, and I remember it, and it's a spooky, crazy, weird tale. He has no recollection due to cocaine addiction and alcoholism. So
I have another fun fact from Stephen King, too.
Let's just turn it into Stephen King Fun Fact Hour.
He's also a special guest cameo in Sons of Anarchy.
Wait, he's in Sons?
The FX show, yeah. He's actually a cleaner. Like, he'll clean up the bodies of someone that's killed. Yeah, he shows up for one episode.
Okay. Holy shit.
Yeah. Just want to spit that out there. If you guys want to see Stephen King, he's in a Sons of Anarchy.
You just
got to
watch fucking six seasons of an FX show.
There you go. It's
all
not
right.
Bad.
And with that, I am officially declaring that it is the end of Stephen King Hour. Because this is a topic we've been Earthworm, this is like that thing we were talking about before where we'll just go off and spend way too much time on
a topic.
I also want to state that I found out Matthew Perry in recording Friends was having such issues with alcohol and drugs. He actually, there are entire seasons he can't remember ever doing.
Yeah, I heard that.
And that's devastating because I know homie. RIP, he just passed away. Very talented, very funny. There's tons of movies he's in too that were wonderful. But Earthworm, you were going to suggest something. Get us off of Stephen King, for the love
of
God.
So this has already been brought up a little bit, and I'm finding a common theme. It sounds like we all have something in our childhood, whether it be a horror movie or some guy dressed up who's a really big Red Sox fan, that has kind of like soft traumatized us, where it spooked the shit out of us as a young child. So I don't know if we want to dig into that more, because I got a couple movies that's scared the shit out of me.
Oh, actually, yeah, I have some good ones too, because some mistakes were made when I was young. So let's do this.
I love this. Yeah. I love this. Okay, so the topic now is what spooked the shit out of you when you were a kid.
All right, I don't have a movie, but I have an event, so we're good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, JD already gave JD set the bar with real life of a man with a chainsaw tried to. It scared the bejesus out of me, dressed as Jarek Dieter. Jarek Dieter?
Take a drink.
Okay,
all right,
everybody, that's a rule. If King can't say words, that we all have to drink then.
That's my new alter ego, bro.
Jarek Dieter.
Okay, Earthworm, please kick us off. Movies, media, anything that spooked you as a kid.
All right, so here's a picture. It's 1990-something. Late 90s.
Love it.
And you have a father that has no concept of media that's appropriate to show his child.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely none. So me, as a three-year-old, I want to say, was watching things like Chucky.
Oh, my God. I'm terrified of Chucky.
And The Gremlins. So much so that Gizmo was one of my favorite little dudes. I had a Gizmo doll from Gremlins.
Oh, for a second I thought you were talking about our co-host. I'm like, wow.
No, like your co-host too, but I didn't have a doll of your co-host. That would be weird.
Wait, I was like, wait, can I get a Gizmo doll?
If you go check out my anime room on my YouTube channel, trust me, it's not that weird.
Okay.
Anyways, carry on with your story. Yeah. You have a gizmo doll.
So I'm watching these like horror movies, especially Child's Play, but you know, and Gremlins to a lesser extent, but still a horror movie for a 3-4 year old. Spooky 100%. Shit. I see no problem with it. And then I have this kind of distinct memory, not like of a certain thing, but of a feeling, and it's kind of where I understood what fear was, and I think it was when I was watching one of these movies. And it just clicked at one point that, oh my God, these gremlins are trying to hurt these people. And that could be me. I don't like this. Oh, I don't like this at all. And I became afraid. Like, I was very anti-horror movie for a long, long time because of that. My dad couldn't figure it out because he was like, well, you watched it like a day ago and you were fine. And now you watched your favorite movie, Gremlins, and you're terrified. And I couldn't explain to him that I just understood what sentience was. And I'm like, I'm in this bitch and I don't like it. So that was like the first one. And then for whatever, this was like the base layer. And then at like 8 or 9, I saw the movie Scary Movie 3 with my sister. And that's a comedy movie, right? Shouldn't
it's actually
be scary.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, funny as hell. But watching the ring segment in that movie scared me enough to where I had like nightmares and shit.
Oh, and so you hadn't even seen the original Ring.
The phenomenon of the Ring was like a terrifying thing that just went over the entire like world.
Yeah.
Hey JD, I wanted to let you know, 7 days, okay?
Oh God, don't.
Dude,
do
that's
this.
That scared the fuck out of me after, and again, through Scary Movie, I see this and I'm like, well, the VCR is going to kill me. I don't know what to do.
No, but Earthworm, that's so funny that you mentioned this, is that I had the same experience where the Scary Movie series is my, like, I grew up on a lot of old school horror, but when the early 2000s were coming out, if you're a kid, you can't get into those movies. And unless my older sister was able to get my parents to convince them to like rent something from Blockbuster or whatever, I wasn't able to see a lot of these movies. But with Scary Movie playing on Comedy Central or whatever, that's my first introduction to The Grudge, The Ring. Like, I saw these comical movies about these really intense horror films before I even saw the damn horror film.
Yeah. I still haven't watched The Ring.
You should. You're such a horror guy now.
I should now, but I, this horror thing for me is within the past 2 years. This is all very new to me that I've actually said, you know what? I want to feel uncomfortable when watching media. I'm into that.
Yes. It's a fear is a humbling feeling is what I always say.
Evil Dead Rise,
that's why
I think
like
you'd like.
Yeah, I want to check out the Evil Dead movies because that's they're based in like the Cthulhu mythos, and I'm big Cthulhu guy over here. You know what I'm saying?
I love I love Sam Raimi. I love Bruce Campbell. I love those films. So those ones mean a lot to me for sure. But what, Earthworm, tell us, what else fucked you up when you were a kid?
Oh dude, those are like the real formidable like horror, like got me to swear off of horror moments. On the flip side, though, the time where I was able to finally watch a horror movie was because solely of peer pressure. I was invited to a friend's birthday party. Wasn't a very cool kid in high school, but I had this like group that kind of accepted me and was invited to a birthday party, and they all wanted to watch Jeepers Creepers 2. And I wasn't about to be the motherfucker that was like, I can't do this. I'm afraid. So I nutted up. And I found out that, and this is a pro tip, anybody out there who cannot watch horror movies, what you got to do if you have to watch a horror movie is make fun of the horror. When we saw this motherfucker pop out and do all this crazy ninja shit that he be doing in Jeepers Creepers 2, where we're like just laughing and finding the comedy in it. And that was the first time that I kind of got over this. I am deathly afraid of horror movies and will not do it. It was due to peer pressure, but it ended up being a good thing. So make fun of horror movies, and peer pressure is not always bad.
So do the drugs.
You know, why not?
Turn off the sound. Also, not that scary.
Yeah, that's a good. Actually, that's a, if you turn off the audio, you're just looking at like you're like, oh, this is kind of goofy looking now at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. I don't watch horror, but if I had to, and you turn off the sound, I know I probably wouldn't be as terrified.
See, I wonder if it would be fun. Like, all right, I'm getting on a plane.
Oh boy,
I'm coming up to Maine, and we're watching spooky stuff. If we have like nice whiskeys, and we have like a nice charcuterie board. And then we put on a horror film. It's like it like lessens the
King,
horror.
If you're telling me that you're gonna get me drunk, I'll do whatever you want.
let me say that. Something about my co-host.
Shows up in a red sequin dress.
I know him.
All right.
I know him better than most people. Most horror movies would not freak him out. I don't think something like, especially the later, like Friday the 13th, some of these slasher films, I think you could deal with no hesitation. I think it's just kind of, one, you wouldn't get much enjoyment out of it because half of the fun is being a little scared. So that you're just not interested. But I think if you were to actually want to try out some of these horror movies, you would find out like, huh. This is what everybody was afraid of. Like, if you watch Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. If you watch that, you would look at that and go, this is the goofiest fucking shit I've ever seen.
I've actually watched one of those with Steve, who you mentioned, and I was oh, this is what everyone's talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. Freddy Krueger is kind of a goofy... He's scary, but he's also kind of goofy.
And goofy as shit.
It's much more effective on kids than it is. Like, once you're an adult, you kind of see it for what it is.
Right. Well, you're like, oh, that's clearly a doll. Or that's clearly a mannequin, you know.
And like
whatever.
In 1985, it was like a masterful practical effects movie, you know. But we're looking at it now, having CGI and like all these spoils. And we're like, wow, that looks kind of dumb. So, but. On the flip side, JD, if you were to watch something like Paranormal Activity, which a lot of people see as kind of cheesy, you, as someone who is really into paranormal shit, would freak the fuck out and, like, lose their mind.
I saw some of those movies in theaters, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is, like, scary, dude. Like, and where it goes and everything is bananas. All right, now we have to kick it over to JD. Is there a movie... an event, anything. What scarred you as a child, JD?
Well, there's a second thing that scarred me as a child, and it was an event. It's actually a real event that you could say either was in my mind or really happened. You guys be the judge.
Okay. Let's hear it. I'm ready. This podcast was built for scarring children, okay? So let's do it.
Let's set the scene to basically my middle school time of probably I was 13, 12, 11, somewhere around that range. I was living with my mom at the time, so Earthworm here knows it was around the time of where I was living. He probably understands.
I get you. The picture is painted well for me. King and Mike just make up whatever you think his mom's house looks like.
So what happens is that I happen to have a bed that's like pretty much pushed up against a window, and it doesn't involve the window. So surprisingly, I'm just saying it's pushed up to the window. And you know that feeling you get when all of a sudden, you know, it's the middle of the night, and I just felt like I was being watched, if that, you know, makes any sense. And I'm going to tell the story and already get goosebumps because it scarred me for quite a while. So I'm feeling like I'm being watched, and for some reason, this happens to be the only night where the door of my bedroom is cracked just so slightly, like you see in all the fucking horror movies.
Ooh.
And not to tie this in, because I hope my meme or my great grand meme would never do this to me, but it was probably like a week after my great meme, something like that.
Your meme's mom.
Yes, my meme.
Great meme.
Great. Yeah. Had passed. And, you know, everyone says that, you know, your loved ones could visit you within the time they pass, blah, 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 if you believe in that stuff anyway. So, but I feel the feeling that I'm being watched. And I happen to wake up in the middle of the night and I happen to be looking right directly at this crack that's pretty big, enough to see full figures if you did in between the door. And I see literally two eyes and a smile that could only be compared to almost the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, smile coming through the crack of the door. Like some kind of face was staring at me with those piercing eyes. And I felt that feeling that people talk about where you are paralyzed and you cannot move at all. That night paralyzation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is in my mind, I wanted to yell for my mom, but nothing could come out of me. I tried with all my might to scream and nothing would come out. I felt like it was an eternity. Like I was almost in the infinite Tsukuyomi in Naruto, where I just felt like 5 years have gone by, even though it's been 5 seconds. And all of a sudden, finally, I'm yelling to my mom at the top of my lungs. And within 30 seconds, my mom is barreling through that door. She slams through that door. She's grabbing me. What's wrong? And I said, there was something in the door, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, sounds like I'm rambling. And she's like, there's nothing here. You're okay. She's, you know, she's coddling me, you know, making sure I'm all right. And I slept with my mom that night as a middle school child. And I'm pretty sure not too long after that, I don't know if Earthworm remembers, I actually called him and I told him.
I remember, now that you bring this up, I remember you telling me about this for sure.
And the crazy
thing, little JD calls Earthworm and Earthworm's, I imagine Earthworm sounds the same as he does now as a kid. And he goes, yeah, like a lot of bass in his voice. Yeah, what do you want, JD?
And yeah, he doesn't really believe in that stuff. But at the time, I'm pretty sure he was just supporting me like, oh, dude, that's fucked up or something, you know, but either way, it scarred me. And now to this day, I've even, you know, my wife, you know, I'm a grown man. If I see a door cracked and I'm sleeping in someone's house or staying over, the doors have to be shut. No cracks will be open on any doors. My closet door can't be cracked. Oh, Every door will be shut fully. You will not leave a door open while I'm sleeping in the room.
That's just your sleep paralysis demon, buddy. He don't want to hurt you. He's just here to watch over you,
man,
while you're napping.
I don't want to ever go through that again. And I never went through another experience in that house, so I wouldn't say it's haunted. So that's where you could say, hey, it was your great Meme visiting. Well, fuck you, Meme, because that
was not great. Please fucking don't. That was awful.
Yeah, I actually, my Bubba passed away as well, and, you know, rest in peace to him, and I love him. But I do say to all my family members, hey, if you decide to visit me, don't, okay? I love you. I respect you. Visit me from afar. I don't want to see you because I'm going to be terrified.
You can't do it. You can't do it like the doorway demon did. Like, that did not work out.
No. So, a lot of real life events have happened in my life instead of watching movies, so...
That's wild, man. I can't say I've had an experience with the paranormal. I'll get night terrors and nightmares and stuff like that, but that's wild. And I get why you want to be like, well, we're going to close the door tonight. You know, we got to make sure we're safe and everything. So, damn. That's wild. Mike, what do you got for us for scarring? Hopefully Mike's not going to be like, this one time I saw a murder happen.
It's one time me and my four friends walked a mile to see a dead body.
Exactly. I don't want to.
Down on the train tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, just stay. You were in Stand By Me?
Stand By Me.
When you're not strong,
what? I don't know. It's not Stand By Me.
No, it's Lean On Me. Oh, it's Lean On Me, not Stand By Me.
Yeah, it's Lean On Me. I'll be here.
No, Stand By Me is the movie.
I know, but he was doing the song.
Oh, he was.
Okay. But that's par for the course. I love this because I was like, obviously, I was like, oh yeah, Stand By Me. And Mike is technically Mike's the DD tonight, and he's even fucking it up. So that is a perfect analogy.
Drink that water right now, Mike.
Exactly.
Mike gets pulled over and still gets arrested. Doesn't even breathalyze. Nah, we don't even breathalyze you. You're fucked, man.
I do that all the time. I'll take the song and make it work for the time. So that's me to a T. It's not getting wrong. I purposely did it.
Oh, 100%.
I made the song right.
Okay. All right.
And also, I'm clearly too drunk to know the difference at this point. So it's not a big deal. Yeah.
listen, King, just settle down. Go back and have another sip of your burpee there, buddy.
Okay.
Or your blend red wine.
Ooh. I like that. Very fancy. Let's bring, you know what, Mike? Actually, bring it back to wine snobby hour. Let's do wine snobby hour. No.
So
Mike,
you want some Niagara ice wines? I can make some recommendations. First off, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I love it. But let's bring it. Mike, tell us about any sort of media event, anything that's welcome to scar you when you were a child. Scar, 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 scar.
So my mom
I'm a mama's boy. My mom loved movies, and she would watch movies all the time. And sometimes she'd be like, well, Mike, I'm watching a movie that's a little scary. And I'd be like, I don't care. And so that's why when I was 4, I saw Jaws. And boy, was I scared of water after that, because Jaws is a... I still, to this day, love watching Jaws. Like, I'll usually watch it, like, once a year kind of thing. It's one of my favorites. Shout-outs to the northeast coast there, boyos.
Yeah.
Anyways. Well, it's a little soft of you guys, but anyways.
No, I'm sorry. I just was thinking about how terrified I was, too. So I'm right there with you.
I'm okay. Mike, I'm also sorry. I'm drunk, so I'm going to be slow to it.
Yeah, I got to take you home soon, because if you start vomiting, I'm going to be very upset.
Exactly.
Anyways, so that wasn't the biggest one, though, right? And I talked a bit about a year later when I went to, or a couple years later when I went to see Ghostbusters in the theater, and literally like the opening scene with the, where they're down in the basement of the library, and the ghost turned around and goes, "Bleh!" Right, it's like super cheesy now, but as a four or five six whatever it was, I was like hiding under my seat in the theater after that. But the biggest one was I was eight or nine, and my mom, I don't know how she didn't know this movie, but she looks in it. We'd seen E.T. recently, so that would have been, so I would have been about 7 or 8, and she sees this movie called Alien. She goes, oh, maybe it's like E.T. No. And we put it on, and it is nothing like E.T.
No.
And literally that movie gave me nightmares for the next 6 months.
Alien fucked me up as a kid, too. Not to that extent.
Imagining either something covering my mouth or something coming out of my chest. For months on end, I would wake up and be like, ah! And the worst thing was that we were kind of poor, and... So literally I had shared a bedroom with my two little brothers who were like very young. And so like I had waked them up too in the process. So it was, yeah, it wasn't great. Anyways, that was, those are my traumatic.
I've always watched Predator over Aliens because it was less scary for me. And that's why right there. Ooh. Aliens is just terrifying.
The first Alien and now is a horror movie.
The first Alien is totally, it's a thriller horror, like survival horror kind of thing. And then, and I love Aliens, right, as a result, because it's like, all right, we go back to kick ass, but really our asses get kicked again. So that's okay. Anyways. That's the ones I can think of. I don't really want to talk about bad traumatic events because...
Oh, yeah, no, nothing real.
Just save
no,
them, for, just save them for me. I'll take care of that.
JD, talk about your parents' divorce, please.
Talk about your parents' divorce. Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think, Earthworm, when you were like, I'll suggest a new topic, you should have preferenced it with... if it's real life trauma, no, that's not what we're talking about right now.
Well, I'm glad everybody got what I was saying and nobody started out with like, well, when I was 7, I had a really friendly family member. It's like, oh no, not that, man. Like, we can talk about that after the recording if you want, but like, now's not the time.
I was more, and I'm like, when I was a young Catholic schoolboy.
Oh no.
Terrible.
Church really did a number on me.
Hey, but shout out to any Catholic listeners out there. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you.
Why'd you do this to me? Well, I thought Catholic was a good religion.
If you were any priest's favorite deacon, we're here for you.
We are here for all the deacons listening to the drunk cast right now, because Catholics love to drink. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. We're coming up on 2 hours of recording for us. It's maybe a little shorter on the podcast, but let's finish this out. We're going to do a lightning round of best Halloween candy, and then we're going to take it out with some plugs, and we're going to get the fuck out of here so we can all go see our loved ones and not be so spoopy together. Okay.
Hell right. Yeah.
I'm going first. Candy that I looked forward to most is, oh geez. I like the sour candies, your Sour Patch Kids, your Sour Worms, shit like that. So give me the Sour Boys all day for Halloween candy. Okay. Mike, I'm surprising you. What best Halloween candy?
I actually was just consuming it because I snuck out and checked, and sure enough, because we live in a rural area, hardly any kids been by, grabbed a handful. It is our Canadian and British Cadbury stuff. And so I had Wunderbars and my favorite, a little caramel chocolate bar.
Nice. God, you are so different than
us. You're so Canadian.
I love it.
I love it, though.
If you send me an address, I will ship you some Canadian chocolates.
Okay, I will. After that, I will do that. I will do that, because that would be fun for
if
me and my
If you DM
my
me
lady.
Your address, I will usually do a little Canadian care package.
I'm gonna probably have to do that.
I like that. And if you DM him your private address, we will post it here under the links. Once again, that's Earthworm and JD in Maine. Here's their bank accounts. JD.
Also, I am a creeper, but I only look. I never touch. So it's okay.
You could be there outside my bedroom looking through the crack in the door, scare me again.
Yeah.
That was him. That's what
oh
it was.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Talk about, dude. This is a great story.
Oh boy.
That's great. We solved JD's trauma on this episode of the Drunken Cast. That's never happened before.
Yeah,
solving
actually, what
trauma.
Year was this at, JD, that this happened to you?
2007.
Yep, that was.
Oh,
yep,
shit.
Yep.
Shit.
That was during your
That was. You were that kid. Oh man,
I like it. All right, JD, best Halloween candy.
All right, I like this candy overall anyway, but I would also say that when I ever got it in my bag, I liked that house. Like, they were a 10 out of 10 house. Reese's, baby. Reese's.
Oh, classic.
Wait, hold on. Pieces? Or
No, just the Reese's, the regular cups. I have a fascination with the Reese's peanut butter cup. I could eat those all day. So,
I don't know. Are you guys campers at all?
No.
Does camping involve being inside a log cabin?
Sure. Anywhere you have a campfire, s'mores, do you ever do s'mores?
We do s'mores. S'mores, I fuck with.
Yeah, 100%. Forget just the Hershey bars. Grab every weird those cups are the perfect size to do s'mores.
Oh, that's a... never thought of that. That's a good idea,
yeah,
Mike.
That's something we started doing. It's like we started getting like the caramel bars, because they break into little cubes. You can totally...
Keep this up, Mike, and I'll let you come to my house for free.
Earthworm.
Ask me other great ideas.
Earthworm, right, go on. You got to take us out on the best candy for Halloween.
All right. So we got the, I love Three Musketeers. Three Musketeers, fuck.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Tiny little ones and bite-sized babies. Oh, my God. You know, classic Hershey's chocolate, whether it be the Kiss or the little tiny chocolate bar.
Yeah, pick one, bud.
Oh, if I had to pick one, I'd go with the Hershey's Kiss. There's denser, there's more chocolate. Like, you get it, all right? Kit Kats,
Hershey's...
fuck. What's that, Mike?
Hershey, I was going to say, even though I have all these Canadian chocolate, Hershey is one of my favorite, like, flavored chocolates. Like, I can't
A lot of
I
people,
can't explain it.
Apparently, Hershey's, like, American chocolate is shit outside the U.S., so I'm glad to hear you say that, because I have no problem with it, but I also have a nasty sweet tooth.
I don't buy, I come to the U.S. and buy American Hershey's. I don't buy Canadian Hershey's.
That's so funny.
I don't know. It's just not as cool. And usually I'll get those gigantic bars.
Yes. Right? So. Yes. But all time favorite Halloween candy. And this is a fucking left fielder, but I fucking love Smarties, bro.
Smarties?
I love Smarties. As
That's
a kid,
FYI, they do not make you smarter.
No. It was great, though. No. Oh, what's that, buddy? I'm sorry, I'm going off.
So, ready for your next Canadian fact? So, Smarties are not the same in Canada and the U.S. They're completely different.
Jesus.
Our Smarties is actually a milk chocolate version of M&M's, basically.
What the fuck?
What the hell?
What are you talking about?
I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking fight somebody in the Canadian Prime Minister.
When you send me your address, that's going to be one of the things you get, okay? And we call what you guys call Smarties Rockets.
Rockets?
Okay, that's not a bad name for them, honestly.
I will literally come up there and beat up your entire country, all right?
Hey, fuck you. Come up here. Come,
Come.
We'll walk the one
you
road through Canada
north of
and
West
kick
Virginia.
Everyone's
Virginia. I know
ass.
What you're like. You're all talk, buddy.
Me, Earthworm, and JD are going to link arms and just start spinning them really fast. And if whoever's in our way in Canada, they're going to get it.
No, it's all right. us three versus Mike, you, and two of your best guys.
All right. That's all you get.
You find the two toughest Canadians.
I'm bringing Gizmo and Ed then. There we go.
There
Let's
you
go.
Go. I love it. This was awesome, y'all. Thank you guys for joining us. Let's do this. We got to get out of here because my dog is barking because there's more trick-or-treaters coming. I'm officially loosey-goosey. I've been having a great time and everything. Let's do this. Anime Bros, give us the plugs one more time.
Okay. All right. I'm plug guy still. JD, you want to give it a shot? Or you're like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what day it is.
Okay. All right. He's been drinking whiskey. This makes sense. All right. Here we go. Anime Brothers Podcast. We are a podcast that covers anime, otaku culture, and general nerd culture. So yeah, if you are interested in another podcast that covers nerd culture and anime and all that fun jazz, go into your search bar, type in Anime Brothers Podcast. We're going to be there. There's a little chibi guy with a fucking man bun, and there's a little chibi guy with a beard. That's us. Go ahead and listen to any episode you want. We got an episode with King. If you like Anime Summit and that's why you're here, then like, you know, we got episodes with Anime Summit guests. But you know, it's cool if you don't want to. I get it. There's a lot of anime podcasts out there. If you already listened to Plummet and Summit, like, do you have room for us in your heart? We'd be happy if you do, but if not, that's completely okay. And just to get King back, because I forgot to earlier, I want to shout out a very special band that's very close to my heart, personally. It's called Counterparts. They are a melodic metalcore / hardcore band, and they fucking rock. They are awesome. The Difference Between Hell and Home might be the best heavy music album of all time, and genuinely, that's just like the first 7 songs on the album. The rest of them are like great, but those first 7 stand on their own, and it's better than anything the Allman Brothers could think of writing. Wow. Thank you so much for having me on, King. Appreciate
it. I love
you,
it. I love it. No, that's what we do. We're just going to go back and forth on each other's podcasts and plug our favorite shit that the other person isn't going to like, and I'm all about it. I want to thank my guests, both Earthworm and entirely new guest, JD. Thanks so much, man, for coming on. I'm really happy that you could join me, Earthworm, and Mike on this one.
I'm glad you had me. I'm glad to be here. I had a great time.
I love it. One more time from me and Mikey. We want you to go check out links.animesummit.net. You're going to get all the cool stuff that I've already talked about. But, man, our main show, Anime Plummet, check it out. We're already booking out our schedule for 2024. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Anime Bros on one of those episodes in the new year's coming. They don't know about it, but it's coming.
But it's coming.
Secret I love that. Guest.
Exactly. Mike, thanks for hopping on again and joining me on this one, bro. I appreciate you as always.
No problem.
This has been a fun one for us. Happy Halloween. Remember, be responsible, drink safely, do whatever you got to do, but do it less is more. That's always the key, right? And happy Halloween, folks. We'll catch you guys next time.